Book of Numbers. What are we talking about here? That's the fourth book in our Bible, right? You got the book of Genesis, where everything begins. You got the book of Exodus, where who is exiting in the book of Exodus? Who's exiting? The Jews, the Israelites. Where are they exiting from? Egypt. Why are they leaving Egypt? Bad room service? Why are they leaving Egypt? They're in bondage. They're slaves. They don't want to be there anymore. They've been there for 430 years. Let's get out of town. We're a bigger nation than they are. We can handle this. And so they leave Egypt. They exit Egypt in the book of Exodus. Where do they go? What mountain do they go to when they leave Egypt? Mount Sinai. How long are they there at Mount Sinai? They're there for a year. That's on your prophet card under the book of Numbers. They're there for a year. How would you like to tent camp with a couple million people at Mount Sinai for a year? Is that going to test your faith? Is that going to test your family? Is that going to test your family's love for each other? Living in the same tent with your sister for a year at Mount Sinai? No, thank you, sir. Okay, but they did it. Now, four major things happened when they're at Mount Sinai. What was given to them when Moses went up on the mountain? What did he receive? Ten Commandments. That's the law. The law was given to them at Mount Sinai. But while Moses was up on the mountain, what were the people doing down there? Building a golden calf. That's the second major thing that happens there. They get the law, they build a golden calf. Well, they had to eat that, right? You ever heard about eating your words? They had to eat their golden calf. But after that passed, and after Moses went up and got the second set of tablets, what did they now build? They didn't build a golden calf. That was wrong. What did they build now? Tabernacle. Third major thing that happens there is they build the tabernacle. And if you read the details about the tabernacle, no wonder they were there for a year. You want to figure out putting that thing together? Some of you seamstresses, you want to figure that out? Some of you guys who work with metals, you want to figure that out? No wonder they're there for that long. So they get the law. After they get the law, they build the golden calf. Then they rightly build the tabernacle. What was the fourth major thing that happened there? This is on your, what card is this on? Your priest card. Fourth major thing that happened while they're there. It's the book that we're studying. What's the book that we're in right now? It's called the book of Numbers. So what did happen there before they left Mount Sinai? They were numbered. They were counted before they left Mount Sinai. So that's how we get to the book of Numbers. Now, Numbers chapters 13 and 14. Look in your Bible. We're going to spend some time looking in Numbers 13, 14, and 15, 16. We're going to try to cover as many chapters as we can. I don't know if we're going to get as far as we need to tonight or not. Numbers 13 and 14. What's in those chapters? That's a key chapter, by the way. Key chapters, Numbers 13 and 14. What's in there? It's the spies going into the land, and it tells us about the rebellion of God's people. And when they rebelled against God's plan, they didn't end up where they thought that they were going to end up. But they send spies into the land. This is on your prophet card. They send spies into the land. How many spies did they send into the promised land? 12. Why 12? Just an even dozen? One from what? Each tribe. You got 12 tribes, and everybody's got to have a say in this, right? Everybody's got an equal footing. So they get one man from each tribe to go into and spy the promised land. So you got 12 guys. And when they come back, they're all united in their message, right? They're all united in how good it is, and we ought to go and we ought to take it, right? Wrong. How many faithful, out of the 12, how many faithful spies were there? Like half a dozen? I mean, you go to Dunkin' Donuts, you can get a dozen, you get half a dozen. I mean, so were there a majority? Surely there was a majority of them, seven or eight of them, that were still faithful, right? How many were faithful? Two. 12 went in, two faithful come back. Do you ever feel that you're outnumbered? You ever feel like you're in the minority? What percentage is that? Is that almost 17%? So like 17% of the spies who went in the land came back still faithful to God's word. You ever feel like everybody else has a different idea than what you do about how to live this life? Here were these two spies, they came back. What can you name for me the other 10 spies? Can you tell me their names? You can't. The Bible tells us their names in Numbers 13. You don't know their names. Can you tell me the names of the two spies? How do you know their names? The Bible tells us all of their names. Why do you only remember those two guys? Because they're the faithful ones. Because they are the ones who got to enter into the promised land when those other 10 guys did not. So they send these 12 guys into the land. They all 12 come back and they all give the same report. This is on your prophet card. They all give the same report. What was the report? What was the description of the promised land? What was it like? A land flowing with milk and honey. How would you like to go to a land that flowed with milk and honey? You just took your glass and you dipped it down in the river and you had milk for your cereal. Milk and honey flowing through the land, right? No, that's a figurative expression, right? This is a beautiful, awesome, lush, wonderful place to live. They all agreed on that. What did they disagree on? We can't take it. What was the report of the, this is on your prophet card, what was the report of the unfaithful spies? Why couldn't they take the land? They met giants in the land, not the New York giants, all right? They met giants, the descendants of Rephidim, in the land. There are some tall guys in there. You remember a giant that David fought from the Philistines? How tall was he? 9 feet, 9 inches, if you put it into our terminology. Is that a giant? If you met somebody 9 feet tall, 9 inches, would you say you're a giant? There was a guy who once lived named Andre the Giant. He was not 9 feet, 9 inches tall, all right? He was almost 9 feet, 9 inches wide. No, I'm just kidding. He was big. But Andre the Giant was huge, all right? You seen The Princess Bride? You all seen The Princess Bride? If you haven't, go home and watch it. It's a classic of all times. Andre the Giant is the giant in that movie, okay? Just in case you're trying to figure out who that is. So, Andre the Giant was not 9 feet. Anyway, they go into the land and they're, oh, there's giants in the land. We can't take it. That's how they saw the people. How did they see themselves? What are we? We're like grasshoppers. I think it's the last verse of Numbers 13. The last verse, it doesn't only say that we are grasshoppers in their sight. If you're a giant and you look at some, I don't want to pick on anybody, so I won't. But if you're really tall and you look at somebody, Johnny, when you look down on, I don't mean that little, but when you looked at, do you feel sorry for people who are shorter than you? If you're a giant and you look down on people, oh, you're like a grasshopper. But the last verse of Numbers 13 does not just say that the giant saw them as grasshoppers. It says that the people, the 10 spies, saw themselves as grasshoppers in their own sight because of these giants. Hang on a second. Who's on your side? God. Are you a grasshopper if God is on your side? No, you're the giant. God is the giant with these other people. But no, that's not the way that they saw it. So did they get to go into the promised land? That didn't happen, did it? So on your priest card, the punishment for believing the unfaithful spies. That's on your priest card. What did they have to do? Wander in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. Why 40 years? Does God just like pull stuff out of the air? Why 40 years? 1 year. Is that you, Joe? Man, with your mask on, people, I can't tell who's talking. I think it was Joe. Joe was talking, but his mouth wasn't moving. His mask wasn't moving. Maybe that's what I should say. So 1 year for every day that they were in the wilderness. I bet they thought they had spied that land out a little bit quicker, right? 40 years they go and wander in the wilderness. What happens to those 603,550 fighting men? They all died except for Joshua and Caleb. They had a lot of funerals during that time. They all died. Why? Because they did not believe in God. And if I were to give kind of a summary, just kind of an overview of the book of Numbers, it would be God's people disobeying Him. It is over and over God's people. God says, go take the land. They didn't do it, all right? Is there going to be punishment? Yes. You go and wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and they all of those who were older died because they did not do what God said. I want you to hold your finger in the book of Numbers. I want you to go over and look in Hebrews chapter 3. And tonight's invitation, the guy who gave the invitation tonight was really long, and I'm really kind of irritated with him because this is shortening our Bible study tonight. So I'm going to have a talk with him later on and let him know, not cool, you're still in Bible study time. But look in Hebrews chapter 3. I talk to myself a lot, Josiah. Look in Hebrews chapter 3. Look in verse 16. I want you to let the Bible teach us tonight, all right? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16 talks about what we just were talking about. And I want us to see especially the last two verses, but we're going to get down there. Hebrews 3, verse 16. For who, having heard, rebelled? Who was it that rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? They all rebelled. Now, with whom was God angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? They sinned? What was their sin? What was their sin? Joe took his mask off so I could see his mouth moving and be able to hear. Unbelief, he says. All right, let's keep reading. Verse 18. And to whom did God swear that they would not enter into his rest? Who did God say, you are not going into the promised land, but to those who, what? Did not obey. Or your Bible might say, those who were disobedient. Verse 19. So we see that they could not enter. Do you see the word enter in verse 18 and the word enter in verse 19? What are we talking about? Verse 18, they could not enter the promised land. Verse 19, they could not enter the promised land. Verse 18, why could they not enter the promised land? According to verse 18, why could they not enter the promised land? Because they did not obey. Verse 19, why could they not enter into the promised land? Because of unbelief. Which one is it? Verse 19 says they couldn't enter the promised land because they didn't believe God. Verse 18 says they couldn't enter the promised land because they didn't obey God. Which one is it? Oh, it's both. That's how God views belief. That's how God views faith, is that a true biblical belief, a true faith, is one that obeys. Notice, and that to me, that's one of the clearest passages, and there's a number of them in the Bible. In James 2, we looked at, is one of them. That's one of the clearest passages, where God says, believing is obeying. Obeying is believing. And you can't have one without the other. So they could not, they disobeyed God, and so they had to go and wander in the wilderness for 40 years in order for that second generation to arise. Now, go back to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16, there's a group of men who are a little bitter. No, they're a lot bitter. There's a group of men that come in Numbers chapter 16, and they come to Moses and Aaron, and they say, you take too much upon yourselves. You think too highly of yourselves. You've got too much authority. You've got too much power in all of what's going on here. And so we think that we should have some of that power. I'm paraphrasing. We think we should have some of the authority that you have. You've got too much. Who were these individuals? This is on your prophet card. The complainers, we're going to see this, the complainers who were swallowed by the earth. What's their names? Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. For those of you who are advanced Bible students, you might go and figure out what relationship was Korah to Moses. I'll tell you, he was his cousin. But if you look up cousin in a concordance, you're not going to find the word cousin. So your assignment, if you're one of these advanced Bible students and you think that Soldiers of Christ is too easy for you, go home and figure out how is Korah Moses' cousin. All right? You just have to figure that one out. In other words, Korah is not a stranger to Moses and Aaron. All right? He's a cousin. But he comes and he rebels against Moses and Aaron. Does God have a solution? Does God have, here are these people who are exalting themselves. Remember what Jesus said? Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. Does God have a way of humbling Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? Here are these men who think very highly of themselves, and they rebel against Moses and Aaron. They exalt themselves against them, and they say, we should have your position. Moses says, okay, tomorrow. You get ready. You bring your censers out, and we'll see how things are going to work out. How did things work out for these guys who rebelled against Moses and Aaron? Isn't it amazing in Numbers 16 that the Bible says the earth opened up, swallowed these men, and then close back up. This was not some pothole opening up, you know, not some kind of sinkhole, just open it. Oh, it's a natural thing that happened. Have you ever seen a sinkhole that opened up, swallowed some things, and closed back up like it had never been opened up? No, that's not the way it works. This is not something natural. This is God taking care of these rebels. And there's 250 other guys who were rebelling with them. And there was fire that consumed them. Is it a good idea to disobey God? They disobeyed God and would not enter the promised land. What happened? They go and wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and all of them die off except those who are obedient to God. Here's Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. They're rebelling against God, not just Moses. They're rebelling against God. They're exalting themselves against God. Is that a good idea? No, something by disobeying God, they now suffer the consequences for that. So the people kept complaining. These Israelites were complainites. Do you have any complainites living in your house? Don't point fingers. Do you have any complainers living at your house? Don't even look at them. So I just saw somebody give somebody a look in here. I'm not going to say who it was, but they gave somebody a look. These are thought questions, people, not elbow questions. So do you have any complainers living in your house? These people, this is what I don't get. They just witnessed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram being swallowed up by the earth. But they still kept complaining against Moses and Aaron. I'm sorry. I'm just not sure that I could have been in that camp. Maybe I would have been. But if I just saw somebody get swallowed up by the earth, maybe not, I've got a big mouth. But I think I would have tried to keep my mouth shut. Be like, I don't want that. So I'm going to, but they kept complaining and kept complaining against Moses and Aaron, against them saying, who put you in a position of authority? Moses had had it. I'm done. I'm up to here. Numbers 17. Numbers chapter 17, God tells Moses, all right, here's the deal. You go to the tribes of Israel. You go to the leaders of the household of Israel. How many tribes are there? 12 tribes. 12 tribes of Israel, and I want one rod from every leader of these tribes. And when you get a rod from every, not Rod McLeod, but when you get a rod, a staff from all of the leaders of these tribes, I want you to write the name of the leader on that rod. Don't put Rod's name on there. He wasn't there. I want you to put the name of the leader of that tribe. I want you to put their name on that rod. So Moses gets all of these rods together. He pulls out his Sharpie marker and he starts writing the names on these. And God says, when you get to the rod of Levi, when you get to the rod of Levi, when you get, do we have an Aaron in here? We don't have an Aaron here. Okay, so when you get to the rod of Levi, I want you to write Aaron's name on that rod. Now, take all of those rods and lay them in the tabernacle in front of the Ark of the Covenant where God says, I meet you. And so they did that. When Moses went back in there, after those rods had been in there, Moses goes back in there and one of them had budded. Is that possible? If you take a dead piece of wood, a rod, a stick, a staff, does it still have life in it to be able to bud? Be able to blossom, and even the Bible says put out almonds. It's a dead piece of wood, but only one rod blossomed and now had almonds in it. Whose rod was it? Aaron's rod. God said, this was, you read number 17, and God says, this is my sign against these people complaining. This was God saying, shut your mouth. Stop complaining. Who has been chosen as the high priest? Not Korah, not Dathan, not Abiram, not these 250 ingrates. Who is it that's been chosen by God to be the high priest? He just showed you his name is in Sharpie on the rod. It's Aaron. They took that rod and they cast it into a fire, right? They took that rod and threw it over a cliff. They took that rod and what'd they do with it? What card is this on? Is this on your prophet card? Prophet card, God's sign choosing Aaron as priest. Aaron's rod budded. Prophet card, where Aaron's budding rod was kept? In the Ark of the Covenant. Did they keep a lot of stuff in the Ark of the Covenant? I mean, these people must have been pack rats, right? They kept a lot of stuff. They were on hoarders. When they opened up the Ark of the Covenant, it's like, wow, you people are hoarders. Look at all this stuff you've got in the Ark of the Covenant, right? Nope. This was only the third thing to be put in there. And some people would argue the fourth thing. This was only the third thing to be put in there. And Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 4 says, this was all that was put in there. First two things. First thing that was two pieces that was put into the Ark of the Covenant was what? The Ten Commandments. That's why we say there were three things in there, but maybe four if you say two tablets. First thing put in there was Ten Commandments. Would you want to keep the Ten Commandments? I mean, especially the second copy. I mean, don't let Moses get his hands on them, right? Especially, would you, here's something that God had given to Moses. Would you want to keep the Ten Commandments? Oh, yes, we want to keep those. What was the second thing they put in there? A pot of manna. A pot of manna? Why? In case somebody got hungry on the journey? Really needed a little snack? Why a pot of manna inside the Ark of the Covenant? To remember that God provides for us. Would you need to be reminded on a regular basis that God provides? All Moses had to do was go to that ark and pull this up and say, hello, remember this? We're not going to have time tonight. Nope, we don't have time. We're not going to have time tonight to get to the point in a later chapter when they started complaining about we hate and we loathe this worthless bread. Whoa! Where are you getting that bread? Oh, God's giving it to us. How would you like to say to God, I hate your cooking? Ooh, bad idea. Don't go down that path. But they did. Anyway, pot of manna, right? Second thing they put in. All right, so the last thing they put inside the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron's rod that budded. Why are you going to keep that? Of all the things, why are you going to keep that? Because you don't rebel against God's authority. What God has determined, you obey. Whom God has set forth as leaders, you follow. God had put Aaron in that position. And here were people complaining and rebelling against him. And God makes this rod to bud and put it in that ark. And don't you ever forget, I put this man in that position. Remember why David said he would not kill King Saul? As often as King Saul tried to kill David, why would David not kill King Saul? Because he was the Lord's anointed. Well, I don't like King Saul. He's mean to me. He's throwing spears at me. He's trying to kill me. Did he have an opportunity to kill him? Oh, yeah. You go in that cave and, all right, buddy, you don't know I'm in here. And off with your head. I'm going to kill you. No. He's the Lord's anointed. Are there people in positions of authority we don't like? Romans 13 says they're the Lord's anointed. But anyway, David would not kill him because he's the Lord's anointed. He had respect for him. Why put Aaron's rod in that Ark of the Covenant? To remember God's authority. Are there people today in the church? People today in the church who have authority inside the church? Are there people who are called overseers? Who have the responsibility to shepherd the flock of God? 1 Timothy chapter 5 says, receive not an accusation against an elder except at the mouth of two or three witnesses. That means we don't need gossip fest going on about elders and their decisions. Oh, I don't like their decision. I don't like what they did. Well, I don't like what they did. Guess what was happening in Numbers 16 and 17? Gossip fests. Guess what they were doing? Complaining about what Moses or Aaron were doing as the leaders. What did God do? He swallowed up some of them with the earth. He cast fire down upon 250 of them. And then he caused Aaron's rod to bud and put it inside the Ark of the Covenant so that they would never forget. We don't rebel against God's leaders. Doesn't mean you follow them blindly. And if they're leading in a direction that's not according to Scripture, that's not what it's talking about. But the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that these men who are God's leaders, these men who are God's shepherds and overseers, we esteem them highly for their work's sake. Hebrews 13 says, we obey them and submit to them and we follow them because they will give an account for us. Book of Numbers is a fun book to study. I wish we could have finished our study tonight of it. But it's about people disobeying God and there being consequences and punishment for that disobedience, and it's in our Bible. Romans 15 verse 4 says, those things that were written aforetime were written for what? Our learning. History has a way of repeating itself. May we not repeat the mistakes that they made in the book of Numbers. Thank you all very much for being here. We'll finish up the book of Numbers next week.